If you walk into an emergency room with a broken leg, the problem is incredibly obvious.
Right, the diagnosis is instant.
Exactly. I mean, the X-ray shows the break, the doctor points directly to it, and, you know, you go straight to surgery to fix it. But imagine you walk into that same hospital complaining that you're just, well, losing energy day by day.
Yeah, you look totally fine on the outside.
Right, but you feel like you're dying.
Yeah.
And that is when the doctors had to do some real, you know, detective work. Because it could be 100 different invisible things slowly draining your system.
It's the stark difference between a sudden catastrophic trauma and a slow, silent bleed. I mean, one is obvious and demands a specific reaction, while the other requires intense, systematic investigation to actually uncover.
Well, what if your dating campaign is the patient pleading out and your dashboard says everything is totally fine?
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario.
It really is. And that is the exact problem a new diagnostic guide from Edviti tries to solve. So we are doing a deep dive into their internal framework today. And this is aimed squarely at experienced dating affiliates.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you already know your way around media buying.
Exactly. You understand trackers, you understand optimization. But the mission of our deep dive today is to explore this really fascinating premise from the guide, which is that successful campaigns rarely die from dramatic events, like, say, a massive compliance ban or a sudden traffic source shutdown.
Right. They bleed out from invisible leaks.
Yes. And the guide's very first major conclusion, it completely blew my mind, honestly, because it challenged my default assumption. Like, whenever a campaign tanks, I immediately assume the traffic source just went garbage. I blame the network. Is that entirely wrong?
Well, it is the most common reaction in the industry, but yes, it is usually a misdiagnosis.
Wow.
The guide makes a really profound point regarding this. Traffic is just the loudest variable in your entire operation.
The loudest. Meaning it's just the easiest to see.
Exactly. It's the easiest thing to see on a screen, and frankly, it is the easiest thing to tweak. You see your return on investment start to soften, you panic slightly, and so you find some, well, plausible looking shift in the traffic data.
Right. So you change a bid or you block a placement.
Yeah. Or you swap an audience. But if your diagnosis is wrong, the original leak is still active. You might scale that campaign to a completely new traffic source only to watch the exact same slow death happen there a week later.
Because the disease is still in the system. You just, you know, move the patient to a different hospital bed.
You did. And that is why the absolute top-tier affiliates, the ones who scale predictably, they completely invert the standard diagnostic approach. They do not look at traffic first.
Interesting.
They operate on a strict, non-negotiable order of operations. It goes funnel first, measurement second, creative third, and traffic last.
Wow. Traffic last.
Always. By the time those top operators even consider looking at traffic quality or bids, they have already systematically eliminated the internal factors that are statistically much more likely to be bleeding the campaign dry.
Okay, let's unpack this immediately, because I am looking at the structure of this Edviti guide. And if the true diagnostic order is to look at the funnel first, why do they actually group their list of campaign killers starting with measurement? That feels, well, backwards based on what you just said.
I get that, yeah. It does seem counterintuitive at first glance. You look at the funnel first when you are diagnosing one specific live campaign, but structurally, as an affiliate, you have to understand and secure your measurement first.
Oh, I see.
Think about the logic. If your measurement infrastructure is broken, your data is corrupted. And if your data is corrupted,
then every single downstream decision is just completely wrong.
Entirely compromised. You can't make decisions about your funnel, your creatives, or your traffic if the data is a lie. Measurement killers are the most dangerous because they don't just hide problems, they actively generate false confidence.
That is terrifying.
It is. You think you are making a data-driven decision, but you are actually driving off a cliff using a broken GPS.
Generating false confidence is just terrifying when you're, you know, spending thousands of dollars a day. So let's look at how that happens. The guide highlights three of these invisible data killers.
Right. So the first one is attribution lag misreading. Let's look at the classic symptom. You launch a new dating campaign. By day three, you look at the dashboard and the ROI is incredibly soft.
Okay.
It is just not hitting your target numbers. So wanting to protect your budget, you make what feels like a smart, ruthless decision and you kill the campaign.
Wait, if ROI is tanking by day three, why wouldn't I kill it? I'm just burning cash at that point. I mean, if it's a loser, it's a loser.
Because you are making a fatal assumption. you are assuming your conversion window neatly matches your reporting window.
Oh, right.
In reality, dating offers often have a delayed conversion mechanism. A user might click your ad on a Tuesday, browse the Prelander, sign up for a free profile.
But they don't actually pay yet.
Exactly. They don't actually pull out their credit card to upgrade to a paid tier until, say, Friday night when they're sitting at home bored.
Okay, so it's like I'm pulling a cake out of the oven halfway through the baking time, cutting into it, seeing a bunch of gooey raw batter, and declaring that the recipe is a complete failure.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right. The recipe was perfectly fine. I just didn't give the ingredients the necessary time to undergo the chemical reaction.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it, yeah. You stopped watching the movie before the third act and wrote a terrible review based on the first half.
Wow.
You just killed a potential massive winner based entirely on noise rather than complete data. The mechanism to fix this requires intense discipline. You must lock in a minimum 7 to 10 day evaluation window before you make any kill decisions on a new angle.
7 to 10 days. That takes nerve when you're spending.
It does. And crucially, you have to look at cohort level conversion by the day of click, not daily aggregate numbers. If your tracker cannot show you that cohort retention based on when the click originated, you are flying blind.
Which naturally leads into this second measurement killer, which is tracking inconsistencies. And this is a frustration I know literally everyone listening to this has felt.
Oh, definitely.
You open up your Facebook or Google dashboard, and it says you have 50 conversions.
Mm-hmm.
But then you open up Volume, or whatever third-party tracker you use, and it says you have 38 conversions.
And the immediate instinct for most buyers is to assume one of the platforms is technically broken, like the pixel didn't fire, or the server is down.
Right. So they end up just adjusting their bids based on whichever dashboard shows the higher number, basically just to make themselves feel better.
But the guide says neither platform is broken. They are both technically telling the truth.
Wait, how can 50 and 38 both be the truth?
Well, they are both mathematically correct, but they are answering entirely different questions. Let's look at the mechanics of why this happens. An ad platform pixel relies on browser-level data and has its own specific attribution windows. So maybe it claims credit for any view within 24 hours or any click within 7 days. Your third-party tracker is likely relying on a server-to-server postback URL from the affiliate network.
Right, which is logging the exact millisecond the network registered the conversion.
Exactly. Plus, the ad platform might deduplicate a user based on their logged-in profile across multiple devices, while your tracker might be deduplicating based on a clicked IP address.
So it's like asking two different accountants to calculate your wealth. One is including your pending real estate equity, and the other is only counting liquid cash in your checking account.
Yes.
You can't just average those two numbers out and call it a day.
Averaging them just creates a third entirely fictional number that means absolutely nothing.
That is so true.
The fix is that you have to pick one single source of truth for each specific metric type, and you must explicitly document why you chose it. You have to understand the mechanical gap, because if you don't know exactly why the platforms differ, you don't actually know which data set to trust when scaling.
Okay. Let's look at the third measurement killer, and I need you to break this down for me because the term is pretty dense.
Yeah.
Post-click LTV invisibility. What does LTV mean in this context, and why is it invisible?
What's fascinating here is how this masks the true health of your operation. LTV stands for lifetime value. It is the total amount of revenue a specific user will generate for the advertiser over the entire lifespan of their account.
Okay, got it.
Now imagine you are running two different campaigns for the same dating network. Both are delivering the exact same cost per lead, a CPL of exactly $3. The volume is identical.
Right. So you look at your dashboard, see two perfect winners, and you scale the budget on both equally.
Exactly.
So on the surface, everything looks great. I mean, I'm hitting my targets. What's the actual problem?
The problem is what happens after the click.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, the users from campaign A are highly engaged. They are chatting, they are upgrading their profiles, and their LTV extends for months.
And campaign B?
The users from campaign B, they are extremely low intent. They sign up, poke around for 5 minutes, and completely churn out. By day 14, their lifetime value drops to zero.
Oh, wow. So the CPL looks identical to me today, but the actual back-end value of those users to the dating network is wildly different.
Completely different.
By scaling both equally, I am pouring thousands of dollars into a campaign that looks healthy to my tracker, but is silently destroying the advertiser's back-end revenue.
Yes, And the inevitable result is that the affiliate manager will eventually come to you and pull the offer, citing terrible traffic quality.
And I'd be totally blindsided because my dashboard told me the campaign was a huge winner.
Right. So the fix here is that you cannot stop your measurement at the lead event. You have to track post-click cohort performance. If you are on a CPL deal, you must constantly ask your affiliate manager for back-end cohort retention data on your specific traffic compared against the network average. Yeah. You have to optimize for LTV, not just the initial lead cost.
All right, so let's assume we have secured the measurement. The data is flawless. We know the LTV is solid. The attribution windows are correct. But the campaign is still losing money. Where does the leak move to next?
The user's actual journey. The guide calls this section 2 funnel frictions.
The quiet killers. They're often misdiagnosed as an offer problem, right? Like, take funnel message mismatch. What does that actually look like in the wild?
The metric symptom is very clear. You launch and you see a fantastic click-through rate on your ad, but an abysmal conversion rate on the landing page.
And the standard affiliate misdiagnosis is, well, the market hates this offer. The offer just doesn't convert.
But the real cause is a broken narrative thread between the elements. The psychological continuity is shattered. The ad promised one very specific experience to earn that click.
Let's say your ad implies a hyperlocal casual meetup tonight. The user clicks, primed for that exact experience.
Right. But the pre-lander shifts the tone. Maybe it starts asking deep questions about long-term relationship goals. And then the final landing page requires a 45-minute personality quiz to find a soulmate.
So is it essentially a bait-and-switch storefront? Like, imagine you click an ad for a quick, cheap drive-through coffee.
Okay.
You walk through the doors, which is the pre-lander, and suddenly you are standing in a high-end luxury car dealership with a salesman in a suit approaching you.
You'd run.
You would immediately turn around and walk right back out the door. And not because you didn't want coffee, but because the psychological promise of the ad was completely broken by the reality of the destination.
That is precisely what cognitive dissonance looks like in a marketing funnel. The user clicked because they desired the coffee. They bounced because the funnel did not fulfill the premise. The offer itself is probably converting incredibly well for other affiliates.
Right. Your leak is in the seams between your funnel stages.
Exactly. And the fix is remarkably low tech. You must physically sit down and read your ad, your pre-lander, and your landing page in a strict sequence out loud as if you are a brand new user. Every single step must logically answer the exact question the previous step opened.
Speaking of technical details, the next funnel killer is incredibly sneaky. Load speed creep. The symptom is your conversion rate just softly, slowly declining over a period of weeks, even though you haven't fundamentally changed the funnel.
So we naturally assume, the audience is just fatigued.
But it isn't the audience.
No, the mechanism killing your campaign is technical debt. Over a two-month period, you've optimized, you added a new tracking pixel. A week later, you added a retargeting tag for a new network.
Then you threw in a heat map script to track clicks.
Right. Then a dynamic A/B testing script. Every single one of those microscopic additions forces the user's mobile browser to make another server request, costing you 100 to 300 milliseconds of load time each.
But who cares about a few hundred milliseconds? That sounds completely negligible.
It sounds negligible on a high-speed office Wi-Fi connection, but it accumulates brutally on a cellular network. Suddenly, your pre-lander is missing 4 or 5 seconds to load for a user on a 4G connection while sitting on a train.
Yeah.
And the empirical data on this is unforgiving. Every single second, past 2.5 seconds on mobile registers as a measured bounce.
2.5 seconds? That's nothing.
The user hits the back button before the page even renders. You could be silently bleeding 8 to 12% of your paid traffic into the void for months, simply because the page got slower a few milliseconds at a time.
Death by 1,000 tracking scripts.
Exactly.
So the fix has to be habitual. You must run your actual landing page URL through a speed test every 2 weeks, and you have to test it under mobile network conditions. If a tag or a script isn't actively paying for its own weight in measurable data lift, you have to strip it out.
And mentioning mobile network conditions leads directly into the final funnel killer mobile UX assumptions. You check your dashboard and see your desktop conversion rate.
And too many media buyers simply shrug and accept it as a law of physics. They think, you know, well, mobile users are just lower intent. They convert worse.
But the reality is that the media buyer designed that funnel on a beautiful 27-inch desktop monitor, tested it on a desktop browser, and optimized the layout using a highly precise computer mouse.
And as a result, The mobile experience is just a complete nightmare.
Totally.
On a 6-inch phone screen, the form fields are far too small for a human thumb to tap accurately. The primary call to action button has been pushed completely below the fold by a massive header image.
The affiliate is optimizing for the device that represents, at best, 20% of their actual dating traffic.
But wait, why can't I just drag my Chrome browser window down to be really skinny on my MacBook? Doesn't that show me the mobile view?
A browser emulator on a laptop does not replicate the tactile experience of a physical phone. It doesn't replicate thumb reach, screen glare, or the way the native mobile keyboard covers half the screen when a user tries to type their email address.
Oh, the keyboard block. That's the worst.
It happens all the time. The fix is to build mobile first, and you must test it on a real physical mid-range Android device. If your mobile to desktop conversion gap is wider than 25%, you do not have a traffic intent problem. You have a fundamental user experience problem.
Okay, so we've secured the data, we've smoothed out the funnel, everything is lightning fast and matches perfectly. But what happens when the clicks simply stop happening in the first place?
This brings us to the creative conundrum.
Right. This is the area most experienced affiliates think they understand the absolute best, but according to the guide, they misdiagnose the most. Let's look at creative fatigue. The symptom is your top performing ad creator from 2 weeks ago is suddenly dropping off a cliff.
And the knee-jerk reaction is to blame the audience size. Mm-hmm. We say, this audience is burned out. I need to find a new pocket of users.
But the audience is likely fine.
Exactly. The creative is just dead. The critical insight here relates to the mechanics of attention. Dating creatives have a psychological lifespan that is almost always shorter than the actual refresh cycle affiliates use.
Wait. So by the time I actually see the drop in performance on my tracking dashboard, you're saying that creative has already been decaying for a week?
Easily 7 to 10 days.
Wow.
The platform algorithms will try to prop up a dying creative by serving it to cheaper, lower quality pockets of the audience to maintain your CPA targets.
Oh, so it's masking the decay.
Yes. By the time the algorithm fails and the cost actually spikes on your dashboard, the creative has been bleeding out internally for over a week. You are reacting to ghosts.
That's brutal.
To fix this, you have to track your creative performance by the week of launch, not the week of delivery. You need a proactive calendar-based refresh schedule. You replace creatives before they die, not after the dashboard forces you to.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting. I want to push back on this a little bit. The guide lists something called variant fatigue, disguised as creative fatigue.
Right.
Let's say I'm looking at my campaigns, and I am actively running 20 different ad variations right now. The performance is still mediocre and dropping. I am constantly rotating these creatives on a schedule. How can I possibly be suffering from creative fatigue when I'm feeding the machine 20 new images a week?
Because you do not actually have 20 different creatives. You have one foundational creative angle dressed up with 20 minor surface level variations.
What's the exact difference between an angle and a variant?
An angle is the underlying psychological premise. Let's say your angle is newly single divorcees in your area. That is the premise.
Okay.
A variant is just changing the background color of the image from blue to red or swapping the headline font. The audience develops blindness to the premise, not the dressing.
Ah, I see.
If they saw that divorcee's angle 3 weeks ago and decided to scroll past it, changing the border to neon green today isn't going to suddenly make them click. Every single variant you're running is just a slightly different visual translation of the exact same conversation they already rejected.
Wow. So variant fatigue and creative fatigue look identical in the numbers, but require a totally different fix. If I just keep paying my designer to make minor variations of a burned out angle, I'm just spinning my wheels and burning budget.
Exactly.
The fix is that I need entirely new psychological hooks, new angles entirely, not just a different font.
You have to audit your active creative pipeline by the fundamental psychological angle, not by the raw number of individual ad units.
Which brings us to the final and honestly the most brutal part of the diagnostic guide, operator error. The psychological killers.
This is where it gets personal.
It really does. Look, everyone listening to this knows the technical rules of media buying. But the guide points out that when our own money is on the line, our human psychology completely overrides our experience.
We can have perfect data measurement, a frictionless mobile funnel, and brilliant creative angles, but the campaign still bleeds out because of the human sitting in the chair.
Let's take the trap of refusing to kill losing angles.
This is pure ego. We have all been there. You conceptualize an angle you deeply believe in. You think it's clever. You think it's innovative. But you launch it, and the market simply isn't clicking.
Yet, instead of killing it, you keep iterating on it, thinking, you know, it just needs one more slight tweak to pop.
It's the classic sunk cost fallacy. Every new test we run on a dead angle is more expensive than the last because the variations are getting more and more marginal on a premise the market has already flatly rejected.
The guide is ruthless here. It says, your conviction in the angle is data about you, not about the market.
That is the hardest truth to accept as a media buyer. The decision you are struggling with in that moment isn't actually about the angle's potential. It is about your ego refusing to admit that your brilliant idea was a failure.
So how do you beat that?
The only mechanical fix for human ego is to remove the decision-making process entirely. You must set strict mathematical kill criteria before you ever launch the test. If it hits $100 in spend without a conversion, it dies. No emotion, no exceptions.
Which is the perfect segue into the next psychological killer, optimizing at 3 a.m. No, wait, I want to defend this one. Isn't late-night inspiration a real thing? What if I am awake at midnight? I am checking the dashboard on my phone in bed. And I spot a placement that is genuinely acting completely erratic. Shouldn't I fix it right then to save the budget?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, specifically the biological reality of how the human brain processes complex information under fatigue, the answer is an absolute no.
Really? Even if it's tanking?
Yes. At midnight or 3 a.m., your prefrontal cortex is exhausted. You are no longer capable of making strategic, data-driven probability assessments. You are having an emotional, fear-based response to daily variance.
So I am reacting to the noise, thinking it's a signal.
Exactly. Daily fluctuations are mostly just statistical noise. But when you are fatigued and there's nothing else to distract you, that minor dip in ROI suddenly feels like a massive, urgent crisis.
I've totally been there.
Fatigued operators make consistently destructive decisions. You panic, you tweak a bid, you pause an audience, and you finally go to sleep. The next morning you wake up, look at the dashboard with a clear head, and realize the numbers are now substantially worse.
And then, because of the lag we talked about earlier, I misdiagnose it. I think, oh, the market shifted, when in reality, my 3 a.m. panic tweak actively damaged a campaign that was just experiencing normal Tuesday night variance.
The fix provided by the guide is non-negotiable. You must set strict working hours for optimization decisions. Absolutely no campaign-altering decisions past 10 p.m. You have to trust your daytime discipline and your preset rules over your 2 a.m. panicked gut feeling.
That is profound. And it ties right into our final killer, testing too many variables at once. Again, we all know this is bad. It's media buying a 101.
Right.
But when the campaign is dying and the panic sets in, we abandon the rules. We change the headline, swap the main image, alter the call to action, and shift the audience targeting all at the exact same time.
And let's look at the worst case scenario. Let's say performance actually improves after you do that. You breathe a sigh of relief and think, great, doesn't matter why, it's working again.
But it absolutely does matter. Because if I change four things at once, I spent my testing budget learning absolutely nothing. I have no idea which of those four massive changes actually drove the improvement and which three did nothing at all.
Precisely.
So the next time performance drops, I am starting from absolute zero again.
You haven't engineered a successful campaign. You just pulled the lever on a slot machine and got lucky. And luck is not a scalable business model.
Definitely not.
The absolute unbreakable rule here is one variable per test. Always. It feels painfully slow in the moment when you're losing money, but isolating the variable is the only way to systematically learn what the market actually values.
Okay, we have walked through the invisible measurement killers, the quiet funnel frictions, the creative conundrums, and the psychological traps of the human operator. Now it is time for the 3-minute audit. I am talking directly to you, the listener. The guide challenges you to take your current best campaign, the one you are most confident in right this second, and run it through a rapid-fire check. Let's do it right now.
Ask yourself, is your evaluation window strictly set over 7 days? And are you looking at day-of-click cohorts? Do your platform and tracker numbers perfectly reconcile? And do you know the exact technical mechanism for why they differ?
When was the last time you actually asked your affiliate manager for post-click LTV retention data for your specific traffic? Have you read your current active funnel ad to pre-lander to landing page in strict sequence out loud today?
Have you verifiably tested your mobile load speed on a physical 4G connection this week, and is it under 2.5 seconds?
And crucially, have you made any optimization decisions past 10 p.m. this week? If you found even one single issue in this rapid-fire audit, you've got some incredibly high ROI homework to do today. So what does this all mean when we step back from the specific killers and look at the entire operation?
The ultimate takeaway is about the compounding value of systematic discipline. A mid-tier affiliate who rigorously applies this diagnostic framework, who secures data, tests methodically, and eliminates false variables before ever touching traffic bids will consistently out-earn a highly technical, brilliant affiliate who relies on gut feelings and 3M panic tweaks.
It's discipline over raw talent.
Exactly. The top operators do not possess secret traffic sources. They just possess the emotional discipline to follow the true diagnostic order.
It is all about method over madness. But before we wrap up this deep dive, there's one final provocative thought that emerges from all of this.
Yeah, think deeply about those final operator killers we just discussed. Sunk cost fallacy, ego-driven iteration, late-night emotional tinkering, panic testing, multiple variables.
They're all human errors.
Right. None of those are technical problems. They are fundamentally flaws of human psychology and physiology, which raises a massive question for the future of this industry. If the ultimate campaign killers are human emotions and biological fatigue, how long will it be until entirely automated, emotionless AI agents replace human affiliates in scaling these operations?
Wow. I mean, an agent doesn't get tired of 3-air. An agent doesn't have an ego attached to a creative angle.
Exactly. If human psychology is the single biggest leak in the media buying funnel, is the ultimate fix simply removing the human operator from the chair entirely? Something to mull over the next time you are tempted to pull out your phone and tweak a bid from your bed at midnight.
That is a brilliant and honestly slightly terrifying point to leave on. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be the patient bleeding out in the waiting room while the doctor blames the traffic outside. You want to be the master diagnostician, finding the invisible leaks and fixing them with cold precision. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. Stay curious, trust your data over your ego, and we will catch you on the next one.